never rests.
What is up, everybody? It is the Georgia Show presented by American Pride Bank. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Rusty Mansell. And like we said, partnered up with American Pride Bank. Listen, if you're looking for small town, small bank solutions, but with a huge reach, that's American Pride Bank. Whether you need personal banking solutions, business banking solutions, it does not matter. Reach out to American Pride Bank. They've got locations in Athens and Alpharetta, number of other locations across the state. Your community lender, your community partner, American Pride Bank, member FDIC, an equal opportunity lender. Go check them out. They have presented the Georgia Show. Shoot, Rusty, it seems like forever now, and we hope they're with us forever because they are awesome, and we certainly appreciate those guys as much as we possibly can. We also appreciate the fact that it's game week, Rusty. We're here. It's finally a UGA game week. We got to see a clunker out in Ireland between Iowa State and Kansas State, and it was still like cool water going down the throat on a hot day. It was amazing just to see a little football. That thing got so weird early in the game with all the turnovers and stuff like that. But now we get to talk about Georgia's game week. They got Marshall coming up in week one, and as we know, there's just not a whole lot of familiarity with the Thunder and Herd.
Yeah, me, I think 70 new players, new coaching staff. Listen, it would be hard for me to believe that Marshall, with that much of a turnover, new coaching staff, would be, you know, what you probably think of a Marshall team in the past. Georgia clearly a better team here. And, still a lot of kids that are from the state of Georgia. I believe the quarterback is Carlos Del Rio Wilson, who played at McEachern. Tony Mathis, I think, is a starting running back. He's from Cedartown. He's a transfer from Houston. I mean, so there's a lot of guys. That probably from the state of Georgia that'll be playing for Marshall, get a chance. But these are a lot of, as I dug into it, it's a lot of kind of G4 bounce backs. So, you know, it is what it is. Georgia should go out there and handle business, but it is game week and you get a chance to see those guys. I know they're excited about hitting somebody else for sure.
Yeah, man, that is one of the most common refrains from this time of year is we're ready to hit. If Kirby doesn't say it tomorrow, I'll be shocked, to be honest with you. If he doesn't say some version of we're ready to hit somebody else, I will say this. One of the coolest things I've heard Kirby Smart say, and I'd never heard a coach say it before that, and I'm not trying to put Kirby on a pedestal when I say this, but after game one of his first season, 2016, I remember him taking that podium in the Georgia Dome, last game I ever covered in the Georgia Dome. And I remember Kirby saying this was the next step. You know, that's the way he talked about that game, is this was the first test of our program and where we needed to go. This was the next step. And after a long camp, after a grueling camp, and, you know, we know that there were some ups and downs in that season. But game one, man, it's always going to be special. I always kind of look at it, you know how it is in our businesses. You get everybody, you know, hey, can you help me get tickets to a Dogs game? You know, and you know, what ticket should I try to get and all this stuff. And I always tell them, don't worry about going to game one. Like, because people who have tickets, they try to go to the first game. A lot of them do, just to kind of get out there for that one.
A little different this year. I have seen more tickets available for this one. And Jake, I think it's the anticipation of the rest of the season. You know what I mean? Like this season, and I don't want to change the subject here, but it sounds like they had to split the student tickets this year. That was a big, you know, uproar on social media. You know, even the senior students at Georgia, either you got Alabama or you got Texas. You didn't get both of them. They had two different packages. So they split the home games up, I guess, 4-3 or something like that. So it's, you know, it is what it is, but I have seen more and the weather looks great so far. And it's not going to be smoking hot. So, as the season goes on, those are going to be, you know, that Kentucky, Ole Miss, you know, all those tickets in Texas and Alabama, those won't be easy. But the first two, for a rare opportunity, Jake, I think the first two early in the year might be a great opportunity for people to take their families and get out there. But 3:30 start, so you got time to travel in the morning, still time travel to get home at night for most people. But it's here, man. It's game week.
My man Josh Armstrong says, Jake looks like he just changed a flat tire. I'm not wearing a hat if you're listening to this on a podcast, and the hair is flowing a little bit. And Josh, who is, I believe, a Dogs HQ Plus subscriber, says I look like I just changed a flat tire. He's not wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rusty, it's you know, I think back to some of the season openers over the years, the ones that I attended over the years, you know, the one that stands out to me, the first one I ever went to was a season opener, was Georgia, South Carolina, Robert Edwards' very first game as a tailback. And that was game one of that season. He went for over 150 yards and five touchdowns.
Six.
I thought it was
five or six.
It was one or the other. I clearly don't remember. I remember we parked. If you know where what Athens looks like now, we parked up where around Earth Fair is now, which is on the other side of on the wrong side of Five Points on Lumpkin. And we walked all the way down Lumpkin, only to find out when we got in there that we were in the closed end zone. So then we had to walk all the way around the stadium too. And I got there at the end of the first quarter. The traffic was backed up so bad in Watkinsville that it just took us forever. You know, I was there for the Oklahoma State opener. I was there for the Boise State opener, twice, the one in the dome too, that Georgia lost. And, there's just something special about week one and opening games. And I do believe it is, comes back to that statement that we've talked about a few times. They're ready to hit somebody else. They're ready to kind of get somebody else on their radar and get somebody else kind of in their crosshairs. And a chance to kind of just, I don't know, a little something different than what they've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the difference in college football. There's no NFL preseason. You're not OTA. And, you know, the Falcons, for example, they've OTA'd with the Dolphins and the Titans, and they've had three scrimmage games. So they've had what, you know, kind of what you say, new blood in the building. They've went against other people. But you take Georgia since, what was it, like July 30th they started? And they've been going against each other, you know, for a solid month now. So to be able to play against Marshall, to be able to play, you know, with 93,000 people, because it will be a sellout and there will be people, you know, it'll be a great environment always. I know a lot of people that are going and, you know, I'll be working on the recruit list. It is a great opening weekend for college football. But here's the thing, man, people that are longtime season ticket holders, people like, you know, I think Josh Armstrong said here, I try to go one game a year and I splurge for those seats. You know, there's different types of, you know, ticket holders here, but you only get so many Saturdays, man, in Sanford Stadium. And, you know, you don't waste them. And they get seven this year. I think that's what the deal is, six. Yeah. So, you know, you only get so many a year. And if you pass one up, you don't get it back.
Well, one thing you don't get so many of is chances to take advantage of this Dogs HQ promo at sunheist.com. Listen, Sunheist is some of the best sunglasses I've ever owned in my life. They're extremely durable. Play golf in them. I sit on them all the time. Aviators, they don't break. And if they do, they've got a lifetime warranty. Injected polarization, where it doesn't delaminate over time, and it's a Georgia-based business. It's Georgia-owned. It's made by Georgians for Georgians, and that's what we like about sunheist.com. I mean, Shane and Mary, they're over here in the Jefferson area. They're right down the road from me, for crying out loud. But if you use DOGSHQ20, you get 20% off of your first order or any order at sunheist.com. So if you order some and you're like, hey, I love them, let me order some for my wife, get 20% off then too. You are not limited. Go over to sunheist.com and listen, I've got it on good authority. They're working out some Georgia themed sunglasses for this year. They're working with the University of Georgia on getting some of that going. And we hope it happens very soon. But use DOGSHQ20 to save 20% off of your first order over at sunheist.com. And you'll also be able to kind of hang out with us on Saturday over at Redstone Saturday morning. And that's where they have them in person. So you can go try them out there, then go order them online and get your 20% off. Rusty, I got some questions I want to get into. And before we get into any Georgia specific questions, I got SEC questions. Okay. Because we had some SEC news earlier this week that they're going to open starting in 2026, 9-game conference schedule, a 3-6 format with 3 common opponents and 6 teams that alternate and rotate off the schedule. And they're also requiring it now to schedule a non SEC Power Four game on your schedule every single year. You got to put an extra Power Four game in addition to those 9 SEC games. So looking at that and thinking about how important the SEC is, last year we're going to have 8 games in the SEC. The toothpaste don't go back in the tube on these things. All right, we'll have 10 SEC games before we have 8 again. Best non-UGA team in the SEC this year. Who you got?
Best non-UGA team in the SEC?
Yeah.
That's hard because the questions are, obviously, you look at Texas, and that's they're getting the, you know, their number one team in the country, who, oh, by the way, is an underdog on the road Saturday.
And that's something.
But you got questions. You got questions with Arch Manning. Then you go look at Alabama, who I think's got a great roster. I love their wide receiver core. May have the number one wide receiver core in America. Got some guys back. He goes and gets his OC that he's had the most success with, and Ryan Grubb. But you have Ty Simpson, a kid that hasn't played much either. So there's questions there around those teams. I would just my gut here probably trust Alabama a little bit more as that number two team, and Georgia's going to play them, obviously, in Athens at the end of September. But I probably would go with Alabama just because I think their defense and offensive line, I think they got a really good offensive line. They got, you know, they might have a number one overall draft pick at tackle, you know, potentially down the line too. So we'll see with Alabama and see if they bounce back. But I do think the SEC is wide open, man. And I don't think Texas is the clear favorite. I don't. Can Texas win it? Yeah. But, you know, to me, I'm going to have to see how tough Texas is, and see what they've got in a – I call it a phone booth. Do they want to get in a phone booth and fight with Georgia and these other teams?
Yeah, the thing that scares me a little bit about Alabama, Rusty, is – and I know Georgia lost a couple of games on the road last year too, but yep. They didn't lose to an Oklahoma or a Vanderbilt on the road. Georgia lost to Alabama and Ole Miss on the road. And Alabama lost 3 of the 5 road games they played last year. Is that a Kalen DeBoer thing? I mean, and that was with an experienced quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, can they, because honestly, they don't need to be sitting there with 2 losses going into that Auburn game at the end of the year. Because they've had some trouble in Jordan-Hare to try and scratch out wins. They've had a lot more trouble than they should have had in the past. And I think this Auburn team is a little bit better than it was last year. There's some little issues there at quarterback. I can't fully buy into Texas though either. That's the problem. That's what makes this difficult. Like I don't love Alabama. I don't fully want to buy into Texas. So I guess by default, I'll say LSU. Because I do like that they bring back their quarterback. I do like that they've got a lot of experience returning. They hit the portal hard. It wouldn't shock me to see LSU get off to a little bit of a slow start, maybe lose to Clemson to start the season. Is that game – that game's at Clemson, right?
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't shock you to lose that – for them to lose that one, then for to kind of go on a run after that because, you know, that veteran quarterback thing is a big deal. And, you know, I guess by default I'll say LSU because I don't – and listen, I don't love Georgia either. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not sitting here saying, hey, Georgia's far and away the best team in the SEC. I don't think that either. But I do see 4 teams right there together that, man, depending on the injury, depending on the bounce, depending on the call, right, the pass interference call that gives somebody an extra shot in the red zone, those 4 teams could – any it could break either way. I mean, it's one of those putts, Rusty, where you stand over it and you're like, oh, man, it's a double breaker. This one might do anything, and that's the way I look at those 4 teams atop the SEC. So I'll say LSU.
They could. I got to see it too. You know what I mean? You know,
they've got a coach. I feel like maybe a little bit coaching for his job. I think Brian Kelly. I mean, not necessarily that he's going to get fired at the end of this year, but he's coaching to stay off the very, very hot seat because they go and they lose 3 or 4 games and miss the playoff this year. That seat's going to get extremely hot down in Baton Rouge.
I like my sneaky team. I don't think I would say they're an SEC favorite, but I really like Texas A&M. I think Marshall Reed is really good defensively. You know, if they can get it fixed, because offensively they didn't play great against Texas, but you know they were kind of banged up a little bit there at the end of the year. And I just think that Texas A&M has had some. They got some really good transfers. And talking to people around that program at SEC Media Days and talking to some people, kind of that go watch practice and stuff. Texas A&M, the sneaky team, is going to be a hard – I mean, they got a tough-ass schedule too. So, look, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's a clear – I don't think there's a clear number one team in SEC. I don't. Georgia's got questions. You know, Florida's got a lot coming back. Their schedule's murderer's row. So, you know, you look at South Carolina. They got one of the best quarterbacks in America. They might have the best defensive player in America in a defensive end, but they're also returning or replacing 16 starters, I think. I mean, they got a lot to replace. And, you know, can they start the way they finished last year and got hot? And, you know, quite honestly, they should have beat Alabama. They had a chance to beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, you know, right after they played Vanderbilt. They had a chance, and they lost that game late in the fourth. But, you know, that's another team that's interesting. So we'll see, man. This is going to be truly, I think, in the country, 7 or 8 teams that can win the national championship, 6 or 7. I think there's 4 or 5 teams that can win the SEC. I really do.
I don't disagree with that at all, Rusty. In fact, you know, I like South Carolina. I like their personnel. My problem with South Carolina, though, Rusty, is expectations, and they're hard to handle, man. They are hard to handle. And yeah. I'm not just talking about – and it's not necessarily the expectations on South Carolina. It's the expectations on Lenore Sellers, because it's been a great offseason to be Lenore Sellers. Okay, I don't care what you want to say, whether you're talking money, whether you're talking getting to do cool stuff, whether you're talking about with the ladies, it doesn't matter. Lenore Sellers has had a fantastic offseason. He's had a Travis Kelce, 2024 offseason. It has been incredible for that man. Yep. It's hard to handle those expectations, man. It's hard to handle them. I mean, like, I saw a quarterback win a national championship in Stetson Bennett and just got raked over the coals all offseason because that folk Georgia fans are ready to move on, and he got better. It's been the exact opposite. He has been kind of the savior all offseason. He's had a really good one. It's tough to deal with those offseasons at that age, I've got to say. All right, so I think we'll probably agree on this one, because I'm not going to say anything wild or crazy here. I'll go ahead and say mine first. Who's going to win the 2025 Heisman Trophy? I can't pick anybody else other than Jeremiah Smith, because I look at that schedule and I look at the players. I know he's going to get a lot of attention, but, man, they're going to find ways to get him to football, and he's going to make plays. And I see like a 1,700-yard season, 21 touchdowns, Heisman Trophy winner. I'm not casting my vote yet. I do get a vote for the Heisman. I've got to remind people of that sometimes, because I don't think everybody understands I'm a big deal like I am. But I do think Jeremiah Smith wins the Heisman Trophy.
I would have to, if I had to put money down today, I'd have to put it on him, just because there's going to be so much buzz around him. And he also makes highlight plays. You know, that when you're not on TV, like nationwide, when they're playing like an Illinois or a Michigan State or something where the game's not in prime time, he's still going to make highlights, and it's still everybody around the country. So everybody's going to see him. So, you know, I think Garrett Nussmeier is a guy that's going to have an opportunity in the SEC, and he's obviously one of the favorites on the betting lines. Lenore Sellers is going to have every opportunity in the world too, but, you know, does he have the pieces around him to help him? But I do think Lenore Sellers. So I saw the other day, I think, that in the first week of August last year, Travis Hunter was 3,000 to 1 to win the Heisman, which are unbelievable odds. And he winds up winning it. So then I go look into who's 3,000 to 1 this year. Who's a couple of guys that might have a chance if things went perfect. I tell you, if I had to put money on a long shot, like a very long shot like that, I would look at Marcell Reeve, Texas A&M, because he's going to put up a lot. He's going to put up a lot of yards. He's going to play. He's going to play in big games, you know. And so, you know, again, that's a very long shot. But Travis Hunter was a very long shot. So who's in that similar kind of price range odds there? I kind of looked at Marcell Reed and go, hey, I would put something down, a little bit something on that.
Oh, man, all long shots are not created equal, though. I think everybody understood. I think Travis Hunter's was more of a, hey, he plays at Colorado type deal. But yeah. I will say this. One of the things, to your point about Marcell Reed, if you put together a really strong season, like coming into the season, it's like, man, Marcell Reed's had a great year. And then he just goes off at Texas.
At the right time.
Yeah, in game 12. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. But, man, he's got to – you want to talk about turning it around from a year before to make that happen. My sleeper pick is Jeremiah Love at Notre Dame. I think you're looking at a guy there who might give
– Yep.
2,000 yards, a little bit of a run for its money. When you look at that schedule, when you look at his big playability, the thing that makes me like him, Rusty, for this chance is when you look at Notre Dame's schedule, and some of the kind of the weaker teams on the schedule, sometimes it's hard for those guys to rack up yards, but he's such a big play back that he can go 7 carries for 160 or 7 carries for 130 and kind of stay on track to be a 2,000-yard back or to be an 1,800-yard back and have a chance. So he's another kind of sleeper there for me. And if Lenora Sellers can handle the chatter, I like him too. But because I love Lenora Sellers, I just don't know if he can handle the expectations because I'll believe it when I see it because so many guys don't.
Coming out of this weekend, Cade Klubnik's going to have a huge opportunity. He's got a Saturday night. He's got a prime time Saturday night game against LSU.
He's going to have to eliminate those 10 to 12 plays he has per year where you're like, what just happened?
Yep.
I know everybody kind of loves the experience part and stuff like that. I look back last season and I think about the South Carolina game and I think about the Georgia game and how poorly he played in both of those games. And I just can't bring myself to kind of be in love with him as a potential Heisman, potential Heisman contender. Folks, we've got a new partner at Dogs HQ, and it's Modelo Especial. It's Modelo season. It's not just football season. It is Modelo season. The season has officially kicked off. Week zero is in the books. We had a handful of games there. I saw my guys down at Mercer. You got a DNP there. They didn't play. That one got canceled. So that one didn't work out. But college football season is Modelo season. All right, you've seen it all over college football last year. You saw all over college football the year before, and they're branching out. And they're partners with us over here at Dogs HQ. If you're listening to this or if you're watching this right now, it means that it's time for a reward, and Modelo can be your reward. Reward your full-time fandom with an ice cold Modelo Negro. They've got some wonderful options there for you. Personally, I like Modelo in a bottle. I like that. I like the little foil there around the can. It makes me feel pretty regal. But Modelo is the official sponsor for the college football playoff. I remember seeing it there at the Orange Bowl a couple of years ago. I remember seeing it last year around New Orleans and with everything going on there. But Modelo is our new partner, and you need to reward your full-time fandom with an ice-cold Modelo. That's our advice to you over at Dogs HQ. So go check it out. Also, My Perfect Franchise, Andy Ludicky over at My Perfect Franchise is an experienced franchise veteran. He's been involved with multiple franchises. He has helped people realize their American dream. Go over to MyPerfectFranchise.net and take control of your life and your career. Put it in your own hands. Be a business owner. Be an entrepreneur. Andy will help you out. He will hook you up. He's already had a lot of success in the Georgia market with getting people connected with their American dream. Visit Andy Ludicky at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Rusty, we got some Georgia questions to get into right here. Who is Georgia's breakout player in 2025?
Like,
there's a lot of names here.
So are you talking about a young player? Are we talking about a transfer? What are we talking about?
Listen, you can define it yourself. It's one of those things where if we put a bunch of, definitions on it, I can sense you want to go with KJ Bolden here.
I'll say Zachariah Branch. I think things just – listen, this was the number one wide receiver in America. He was the number one rated wide receiver in the country, I think, in 2023. Things, for whatever reason, at times didn't work out for him at USC. He flashed a little bit there, and things just – offensively, they just weren't great. But I think Zachariah Branch is about to have – I think that this is a new toy for Mike Bobo, I think he's in for a big year. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't really matter to me because I think Georgia spreads it around so much, but you do get so many people asking, when is the next 1,000-yard receiver we're going to have? A guy that has 1,000 receiving yards. It will not shock me at all to see him at the end of the year. Because here's the thing, Jake. He can take a quick screen. He can take a short area pass. And he can turn that thing into 15. And that's when you catch a 5-6-yard pass and you consistently turn those things into 15, 20, some of those things, I think that Zachariah Branch is set for a big year, a damn big year at Georgia.
I can see that, really. And honestly, something I was looking at here recently, because, you know, Lincoln Riley, I cannot say one negative thing about what he has done for the offensive players that play for him, Rusty. You want to talk about offensive linemen? They've killed it. You know, Creed Humphrey, the kid from Georgia, I'm losing his name right now, Orlando Brown, you know, that have played for him and done really well. Running backs, big time. Receivers, big time. Quarterbacks, speaks for itself. How many Heisman Trophy winners? At least two. At least two number one overall picks. I mean, he has done an incredible job developing offensive players. The one hole in that resume, and it's a very specific hole in the resume, are slot receivers. Hollywood Brown was kind of a diminutive, smaller guy, but he was an outside guy. You know, he struggled with Zachariah Branch, struggled with Mario Williams. You know, he's done a great job with tight ends. He has not gotten that slot receiver kind of position figured out in his offense yet. And I'm not saying he should. Like, I mean, you're not going to have 1,000-yard receivers at every spot every year. So I do understand that. And like I've said numerous times with Zach Branch, one of the things that I heard about him after the summer was that I don't know what they did at USC with him as far as strength and conditioning goes, but we've been able to put good weight on him already. And that was something that he came in them, you know, saying, hey, you needed to do this, and they've done a good job with that. So I like that pick for sure. I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball, Rusty. And I'll tell you what, I like Ellis Robinson to break out. I'm starting to get on this Ellis Robinson train. I like Ellis Robinson to listen, the competition's thick with him and Daniel Harris going into the season. Okay, now do I think Ellis Robinson has a leg up to start? Yeah, I do. But I think he's going to get the starting job, and at some point he's going to take control of it. Now, it may be a situation where Daniel Harris kind of, you know, stays involved, but I just like the steadiness of Ellis Robinson. I like it when the feedback you hear about a guy is, I think he's kind of born to play that spot. And that's Ellis Robinson. You know, I mean, some guys have all the traits and all the measurables, but I get some, without having seen him a ton, now this is as far as I'll go with a guy, I haven't seen him a ton, but I kind of get some DeAndre Baker-style vibes from him, just that, hey, this is what this guy was kind of made to do, and he loves playing the position. He's natural at it. And I think that spot sometimes, that gets overlooked a little bit. If folks look for the 6'2 guy that can run, you know, a 10-4 and 100, and they kind of overlook the guy that runs a 10-7, 100 at 6 foot. And sometimes that guy's just a better football player. And I think we might be looking at that with Ellis Robinson.
I mean, you look at DeAndre Baker, he wasn't a burner. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Ellis Robinson's not a burner. You know what I mean? He's not a burner. This is not a long end speed guy. He doesn't run like Daniel Harris and doesn't run like Dalen Everett. But he's instinctive and he's long. So, you know, DeAndre Baker, that dude, he would clamp you down in a heartbeat over there. Physical. You're talking about South Florida. You start talking about South Florida dog in him. You know, that's what DeAndre Baker was. And man, he shut down. When Georgia had him on the field, he shut down a half a side of field, period. And you look at Ellis Robinson and, you know, coming from New Jersey and, you know, they say he's wired, you know, this kid's, he's wired alpha male. So, you know, it's a battle between him and Daniel Harris right now. And I do agree with you. I do think he's going to wind up starting sooner than later, in my opinion. Doesn't mean Daniel Harris is not going to play if he does not start some. But, you know, I think Ellis Robinson's a guy that, you know, I love that comparison. You know, he's got some guy in him.
When I think about DeAndre Baker, there is only one corner in my time covering Georgia that I would consider taking over him, and I think I would take him over him, and that is Kamari Lassiter, just because Kamari was so stinking physical. I think Kamari actually gave up a touchdown or two in his Georgia career, but DeAndre Baker didn't. But Kamari was so physical, the versatility there, the way he would come up and the way he would – you know, I think Kamari was the kind of player that made the entire defense so much better, because he would fly up and make a TFL and start beating on his helmet, and he would get into kind of meathead mode, and I think they just kind of followed his energy a little bit. I think that was missing for Georgia last year at that position, because when they got it, like when Daylon Everett played that kind of playmaker style ball for them, man, they balled out. But when they didn't get that kind of play from the cornerback position, they struggled.
Eric Stokes was bad too now.
Oh, yeah. Eric Stokes is my number three for sure.
Eric Stokes would lock you up in a heartbeat. And unfortunately, he was a first rounder. Unfortunately, he's been a little banged up. But you start talking about corners at Georgia under Kirby Smart, DeAndre Baker, and you know Eric Stokes and Kamari Lassiter. I say it all the time. Kamari Lassiter, he put Luther Burden on a milk carton. Like, I haven't seen Luther Burden again until he showed up for the Bears the other night. Like, he got physical with him, and he did. That was a day I go, oh God, Kamari Lassiter is that dude. Because I mean. Yeah. Luther Burden, nobody could stop him. I mean, he was doing all this. He was doing all that. The minute Kamari Lassiter went over there and said, I got you, it was night-night. I hadn't seen him since.
I knew there was something different to Kamari Lassiter when he was because of the private school rules that he was at and everything, he couldn't enroll early, and he came in like at the 1st of June. And by the time preseason camp had started, Kirby's like, we got to make a decision on what we're going to do with this kid and where we're going to play him. Because they didn't know if they were going to put him at star or they were going to put him at corner. They just knew they wanted to try and get him on the field as much as they could in 2022. And listen, he took some lumps in that first season starter. Everybody does, but dang, he was really good. And, you know, Kamari Lassiter, Eric Stokes, DeAndre Baker, and Champ Bailey are the Mount Rushmore of Georgia cornerbacks since I've been following Georgia football. I know there have been some great ones over the years. I think Jeff Sanchez played corner and was really successful at Georgia, but I don't necessarily know that he was ever in that, you know, discussion. But those are the four cornerbacks I think of. And listen, when Georgia gets playmaking style of performance from their cornerback position, they're really good defensively. They tend to be really good. Rusty, Georgia's most valuable player in 2025. I'll go first with this one because I know that you know, you might still be kind of milling around here with some answers or with some questions here. This one's tough for me. And I say it's tough because I don't want to state the obvious. And I've said it before. I'm not a Gunner hater. I'm not a Gunner non-believer. I'm just a little skeptical about how far he can take the team on his shoulders. Okay. And I'm not, most quarterbacks can't. Okay. When I say that, I say 98-99% of quarterbacks can't put the whole team on their shoulders for more than maybe a series or two. Okay. That's just where most players are. I look at the defensive side of the ball. I want to talk about KJ Bolden, but that's a very popular pick. And I think KJ can be a big playmaker. He's certainly on the list. When I look at Georgia and what they need to do this season, all I can think about is the run game. That's all I can think about. They're not going anywhere. They're not playing for. They're not making the playoff. They're not winning an SEC without a much improved run game. I'm not going with Nate Frazier. I'm going with Drew Bobo. I think Georgia needs Drew Bobo to play and communicate at a high level. I played a little center at the high school level, Rusty. And it's a bit whole different animal, but I do know that everything kind of bleeds out from there from a leadership standpoint. And I don't think Georgia can be better at running the football this year if it's not better at the center position, because there were so many busts, so many miscommunications last year. I think Drew Bobo can step into that void and become Georgia's MVP in his first season as a starter.
NFL scouts love him. So, I don't – is it going to be one and out? I don't know, you know, but – this is a kid that is highly, highly thought of. Had some scout talk this week, and he's excited about starting. And this is a kid, obviously, with deep Georgia ties with his family, and you know, being kin to Vince Dooley as well. So there's a lot of connection there. I'll say it, and I'll say why. I mean, to me, it's Gunner Stockton, and you're right. It's not all on him, but he's the player that touches the ball every single snap offensively. And he has to make decisions for the 10 other people in the huddle. There's a reason why it's the hardest position in sports, in my opinion, is playing quarterback on high level. If you take 32 NFL teams, Jake, I would say there's probably 9 or 10 that can play at a high level. And then there's about 4 or 5 that can play. But it is the most important position. It's not all on him, but he has to perform, and he has to make plays when it's presented to him. So I think it's Gunner. I think he's the most important person because, you know, they're not going to, this is not 1980 where they're just going to run the ball down your throat and, you know, and Buck Ballew has to hand the ball off and then complete a couple passes when needed. I mean, Gunner's, it's a totally different world. So, you know, again, he doesn't have to be Superman. He doesn't have to be Mike Vick to get Virginia Tech to the Sugar Bowl. He does not have to do that. But he's going to have to make plays, and he's going to have to put the other 10 people in the right situation and not turn the ball over for your defense on the other side, those type of things. So, to me, it's Gunner. You know, it's not all on him, but it's just like every year. This team's going to go, you know, how the quarterback plays, and that goes for a lot of people.
That's – I mean, listen, you can never argue with that. You can't argue. But I will say this. He's not the only player that touches the ball every offensive play. Drew Bobo touches it too. So we are thinking with the same mind there as far as the offense goes. And listen, I think the world of Gunner as a player, I think he's a baller. I really do. I just, you know, I look at it and I haven't seen Stetson wasn't a put you on my shoulders type for a whole game either. But you talked about the fourth quarter and the clutch and kind of what he did. He was awesome. He was awesome in the biggest games, you know, four college football playoff MVPs. I don't know that Gunner's that guy. And I'm not saying he's not, but I got to see it. You know, like I certainly have to kind of, you know, see him get there and be there for that. All right, guys, that's all we've got for today. We've got a few things to get to here. First of all, thank you so much for American Pride Bank for presenting the show. Thank you so much to our new partner over at Modelo. Listen, Modelo season is here. Go check it out. Brand new partner with Dogs HQ. We're really excited to announce them. My Perfect franchise is in there. Do not forget Roback. 20% off at Roback. Go over and check their UGA collection out. Game day is Saturday, fellas. Game day Saturday. Cool. Go check it out and get there. And listen, we got an update on this too. Come hang with Dogs HQ. Our situation at Point Grand Properties got called off yesterday early in the day, and it got canceled. And ultimately, because of the weather in the area, and we're going to reschedule that. It's not been officially rescheduled yet. But I heard, Rusty, we had some people come all the way from Marietta to see us. And, I am so sorry you guys did not see the cancellation. I feel like we got to mail them a
I'll take care of you. Find out who that was, and I'll take care of them.
Here's what I'm going to do. If you guys watch the show, my email, y'all can have it. All right. I don't care if you email me. My email is jkimrow@gmail.com. Email me an address and your shirt size or, you know, give me shirt size, hat size, whatever. We'll figure out a way to make sure that you get something for coming to hang out with us over at Point Grand Apartments there in Athens, because we certainly appreciate that. But if you're coming to the game this Saturday, or if you're just in the Athens area, we're going to be at Redstone Market and Butcher off of Highway 129, just outside the Athens city limits between Athens and Arcade. Come on by. We're going to do a live show at 10:30. I'll be there starting at around 9:45, 10 to get set up. So if you want to come by and hang out before the show, that's great. We're going to go an hour from there. Jake Roos is going to host, and we're going to go all throughout the store, kind of show you what's going on. They got tailgate packages. They got some of the most unique Georgia apparel that you'll find anywhere. And then I'll be there for about 30-45 minutes after, kind of taking down. And I'd love to meet as many people as I possibly can. And we're going to be doing that every single home game this season. So come check it out.
Dogs HQ tent.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have – hey, you'll be able to find us real easy. You'll be able to see us from the – listen, if you don't stop and you just want to come by, honk your horn at us. All right? Just honk your horn as you come by. If you're just dead set on not stopping and coming hanging out with me. All right? If you just really don't want to come, you know, see me in person – and give me a hug or something, just, you know, honk your horn. We're going to be there at Redstone Market and Butcher off of Highway 129. And we certainly appreciate everybody listening, everybody watching. It's game week. Enjoy yourselves. And we'll be back with you later on this week.